Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
It's great to have you here today. Thanks for coming to hang out. You will not be disappointed because we're very blessed this morning to have one of the leaders in the life of our church, also a board member of Compass Church, and Chrissy is very, very good in her workspace and life. And I won't embarrass her by elaborating on that, except to say she's just very good at what she does. And in terms of what she contributes and brings and adds to the life of our church family, is greatly appreciated. And we certainly see her as a massive blessing. For Nat and myself personally, as a friend, the friendship we've been able to develop with Chrissy has just been a real blessing to us. I think we've benefited way more out of this friendship than what you have, Chrissy. So thank you. Personally, but also as a church family, we're very blessed to have this lady in the life of our church. And I know that whenever she comes to preach, there's always something that's been simmering and stirring and marinating away, and today is no different. So I'd really like us to embarrass her right now. So can we please put our hands together for Chrissy? I know you love that.
Thank you. You know you're old when someone's calling you a lady. It's not girl anymore, it's lady. Ouch. As Phil said, yes, it is something for me. Messages aren't something that I put together and piece together, but they're actually things that really kind of happen on the inside and then eventually find their way out. And so today what I wanted to share is the way that God has spoken to me about something. I think it was around November, December last year. And so this has been something that has been sitting with me for a really long time. And something that I've been waiting to feel, what was God's perfect timing for this message? And he has an amazing way, as you'll see through the end of this message, to bring around the right circumstances and the right time. So I really hope you enjoy it and you get something out of today. But what I wanted to start with is a little bit of a story. I'd been waiting for a very long time to get to Europe. For friends of mine who knew me, I think it started when I was 21 and I could never find the right time. I could never find the right itinerary and the holidays and work, and finally I got to go. And I found myself standing at the Louvre Gallery in Paris. And I don't know much about art. I knew I was meant to enjoy it. And I knew when it comes to the technical details around art, I know what I like. And that's probably where it ends. And I found myself standing in front of a painting. And the painting really captivated me. And the painting was called Saint Anne, and it was done by Leonardo da Vinci, and I know that sounds very impressive, but for me, nice painting. And the painting was a big canvas. It was, it was about 1.5 metres tall and about 1 metre wide, so it was impressive. And I really kept staring at it, and I couldn't understand what it was about this painting that made me want to keep looking at it with everything else that you're surrounded with in the gallery. And as I stood there, God brought back to me that I had seen a documentary about this painting. And it was a documentary done about 5 years ago on the restoration of the painting of St. Anne. So this painting that Leonardo da Vinci did was about 500 years old. He had worked on this canvas for 20 years. And as you can imagine, from anything that's 500 years old, it had survived world wars, it had been damaged, it had been repaired, it had been dimmed and it had yellowed, and it had hung in galleries and it had hung in private homes. And so they started to make a decision that they weren't just going to repair this painting anymore, but there was a time for them to actually talk about restoring the painting. And it's funny what God will use to get your attention. But while I was sitting there and I just kind of kept looking at it from different angles, going, little bits of that documentary started coming back to me that I don't even think I was focusing on when I was watching. It was one of those things I do while I'm doing something else. But I remember a couple of things about it that were really important standing and watching this painting. And that is that restoration took a long time. This lady devoted 18 months to sitting there cleaning this canvas and bringing it back to its original picture. And what it meant was her sitting there with a magnifying glass strapped to her head with about 5 centimetres between her and this canvas, with a cotton bud and a pair of tweezers, working on a canvas that was over 1.5 metres tall and 1 metre wide. And it struck me because I remember, wow, that is commitment. To come in every day and look at this same painting and think, I'm not going to be famous because I'm not painting something, I'm not creating something. I'm simply committed to restoring something back because I believe in it. And so when I looked at the painting, little parts of it came back, and when they'd cleaned this canvas, they'd found details that Leonardo had put in there that, because of the dirt and the grime and the yellowing, people hadn't seen for hundreds of years. So I stood there, humbled, that I saw a piece of work the way a creator intended it to be. I got to see some of the finer details, which I would never have appreciated, of just water flowing over St. Anne's feet. There was a mountain in the background of the canvas, but when it was clean, they found a village and they found trees and they found all these intricate things. And the colours of that painting were vivid. And I know that after 500 years, people wouldn't have seen what I got to see, even if they had gone to the gallery 100 years ago or 10 years ago. So I felt incredibly humbled in that moment that I got to see a vision of what Leonardo wanted to capture, what he spent 20 years. And so I kind of thought, okay, that's pretty good. I'm finished with that now. But God kind of wouldn't let this go, and he kept kind of just keep looking at it. I'm like, okay, it's nice now. I really want to look at something else. And he started to tell me about the similarities between us and this painting. We are the work of a creator, a master artist. And he put things into us in his own image. You know, if I go back and read Genesis 1, verse 27 says that we are created in his image. Male and female, he created us. I don't know about you, but there are days I don't feel like I carry his image. I don't feel like the work of a great creator. And like everything else in this painting, over time, my picture has been dulled. The things that God has made me have somehow lost a bit of its shine. Events have happened which, just like the painting, have damaged it. You know, and there are scars, and well-meaning people have tried their best to repair it, including myself, and probably haven't done a great job. And so I think there's a story for us that the master artist knows what his creation needed to look like, and it takes commitment. And I think that there is a process for each of us when we come to God where he knows exactly what it was that he intended us to be. And there are situations, and there's time, and there are all sorts of things that happen to us, just like it happened to this painting, that somehow take us further and further away till we can't even remember what it was we were meant to be or what we were meant to do. We've forgotten the gifts that God has put within us. We've forgotten the beauty that he created us with. And it's easy to forget. It's easy as we kind of just churn through life to go, well, this is just how it is now. Some of those things I've just become so comfortable with, I've made them part of my story and part of my canvas. I've assumed that they've always been there when they're not. And so as God kept talking to me through this story of restoration and this process of a painting, he also talked to me about what it meant to have a commitment to restoration. You know, this lady got no award, and it's funny, I actually tried to Google her to find out who was it who created that, who cleaned the paint. I couldn't find it. So it's clear to me she didn't get any fame out of this, whereas if she'd been some great artist who created something in her own right, she would have been famous. Yet she felt there was this commitment to clean this canvas and do all this work. And restoration is about that. It is not about repairing. Repairing does patchwork, but God is concerned with the whole canvas. He's concerned with what the whole picture looks like together. Now, I've been guilty in corporate circles of telling people, and I don't know if any of you have heard this, that, you know, it's time to reinvent yourself. You've done a great job for such a long time. Reinvent yourself. And God's been talking to me. Did I make a mistake? When you talk to those people, did I make a mistake? Because you're telling them to recreate something. And by telling them to recreate something and reinvent something, you're telling them that what was there was wrong. And that really convicted me. I'd never thought about it. They were just words that I'd heard, and it sounded really good, so they came out of my mouth. I didn't really realise the impact I was having on people, where I'm telling them, yep, go and recreate yourself. And really, the words were wrong. I didn't have the right words to put to what I knew, which was God was calling these people to a process of just restoration. Go back and rediscover the things that you loved about your job or about your life. Go back to the things that you knew were right, because the God we serve is not in the habit of making mistakes. And while kind of these dialogues going, and it all happened in minutes, it's taking a little longer obviously today, but there was one psalmist, David, who seemed to understand the relationship between God and his creation. He seemed to understand that we weren't just some hodgepodge put together, but there were details and there were thoughts and there was nothing that was an accident and nothing that was a leftover that was added to us. And so I wanted to read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid a hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I say, surely to the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is a light to you. For you created me in your innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And all the days of my life were ordained for me. They were written in your book before one of them even came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they will outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, and stay them away from me. They will speak of your evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? Do I not abhor those who raise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them, and I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This psalm is really a story about a man who understood God and his creation. But I love the way he talks, because he starts his psalm with, "You have searched me." But he ends with, "Search me, O Lord." And to me, this is the story of a process. I wish restoration was a one-off event. Just like the painting, I'd like to think it's never going to happen again. It's done now, but it's not. Because as we keep travelling through life, as things keep happening to us, there is a way that God just gently brings us back to that original purpose and that original design. And he's so merciful that he just doesn't kind of leave us to figure it out. He sent us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us. And while I know he's been given to us for a myriad of purposes, one is to see the restoration of us. You know, I see the Holy Spirit sitting at that canvas and slowly with his cotton bud in his tweezers picking away and taking off the grime in my own life, the things that have happened to me, and just saying, that's not the original picture, Chrissy, let's just take that back. And it is something that just happens over time. But unlike this canvas where it got done to it, the difference is with us, we get to invite it. You know, David just goes through this whole process and ends up saying, search me. It's an invitation that he's ready for that, you know, to see that restoration in his own life. He understands it's been done before. That's how his psalm has started. And he goes through all the different parts of how wonderful he's made, how much he knows God can see and hear everything that's been going on. But he ends with, just search me. Search me and know that I'm struggling. Search me and know that I have anxious thoughts. Search me and know that I'm human and I have failings. And he just doesn't end with searching, but his last line actually says, see if there is any offensive way of me and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, he doesn't just leave us. He comes and takes us out of those places when he gets there. You know, when we give that open invitation, that this ongoing process of the Holy Spirit just gently sits and keeps going. And he keeps going as long as we allow him. You know, when we were little, we were always taught God is a gentleman. He will never take places that he wasn't invited to take. And that is definitely true of even our restorative work. God will kind of point to little pieces in us and says, you know, what about that? But then it's up to us to openly invite. And that's probably my second point. You know, restoration causes conflict. When I went back and looked at this documentary of the story of the painting, they had assembled a group of art critics in order to decide, and the one question they couldn't agree on, how far do they take the restoration? Some people thought that, no, we should be able to see some of the things that happened to the painting. It adds to the history of it. Other people were, no, that's not the way it was intended to be. And I know in my own life, when God starts that restoration process, there's always this wrestle with me and God around how far do we take it this time. You know, it's fine while he's doing some of the easy stuff around the edges, but then he'll put his finger onto something. And it's something that I really don't want him to touch. You know, sometimes the pain and the hurt we've experienced have developed scars over the years, both physically and emotionally. And I don't know what my life will be like if they're taken away. I'm kind of scared what will be underneath it once they're removed. It also has become a place for me that justifies some of my behaviour. You know, I can be angry. I have a right to be angry. I'm justified in my pain because you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what they said about me. So it also excuses some of my behaviour. And some of it, let's be honest, I'm just happy with. I look at some of the additions and think I've done a good job. There are things I know that God's not so happy with, but I think they're okay. And I think that that's the whole thing with coming. You know, I think there's this misconception that we want sin gone. I actually think sometimes we're happy in our sin. Oh, they're really big things. But we'll go, you know what, that's not such a big deal, is it? I can hang on to that for a little while. And I love that the psalmist David has gone through this same process. You know, I had to laugh when I see him ask this question. He's gone through how wonderful and awesome God is. And then it's, and how do I hide from you again? How do I hide from your spirit? And it made me think, why? Why do you even want to hide? And I went straight back to the book of Genesis. And in chapter 3, it said, when God walked the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid. And I thought, how interesting. We really haven't changed. We have modern technology. We have all these great things in science, but we still want to hide. You know, I think of being a little kid and, you know, my sister and I would often play, and if we break something, the first thing we do is hide. And it was such a stupid thing. It's not that we didn't know we were going to get found. I don't even know why we did it. But the truth is that our tendency when God puts a finger on something that we're not ready to deal with is we want to hide. We still want to hide from God. We still want to hide the sin. We still want to hide the shame. And it's one of those things that I find when I'm struggling in that area and we're going through that wrestle, I struggle to connect with God. I want to open my Bible. I want to pray. I sometimes don't even want to come to church. And when I spend the time and I really look at it, it's because God has brought something out in me that I'm not ready to deal with. And it's me just finding this place of humility that says, search me. Search me and know you're going to find some stuff. And search me and know I don't always know how to get myself out of some of this stuff. But God has been so gracious in my life, and God has been so gracious in other people's lives, where I have watched him come and I have watched him work, and he is gentle. You know, he's not here to humiliate us. He's not here to condemn us. He is here basically because he loves us, and this restoration process is because of that. And finally, I think my favourite part of the restoration process is that it unearths gems. When I stood in front of this picture, I saw things that Leonardo had put in the picture that other people hadn't. I saw parts in this canvas that had come to life. And I think that's the same in our own lives. As we allow him to restore, it's not about just restoring the bad things we've done or touching the things, but it's also about reminding us of some of the beautiful things he created us to be. There are always gifts in restoration because we don't know the whole creation. We don't understand fully how we've been put together. We don't understand the depth of the gifts and the talents that he's put in us. But the truth is, as we walk through this process gently with God, he reveals something of himself. You know, the whole restoration process is about bringing this image back to a person created in an image of God. And in an image of God, there is perfection. And like I said, I don't feel like I'm created in the, you know, image of God. There are days that I don't feel that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. but I know that God sees me that way. And I know that sometimes I have a distorted view of my own image and painting. I have a distorted way because it's been coloured with things. And as God just keeps scrubbing away, he reminds me. He shows me gifts. He shows me talents. He shows me things that haven't been used in years, some things I didn't even know were there. And it's almost like, here is your gift for walking this restoration purpose with me. See, Chrissy, it was for a good reason that I've started this work in you. It wasn't to punish you, and it wasn't to hurt you. And I think if you hear nothing else today, the message that God had for me was that the whole restoration process is one of love. It's one of love because if you ever see people restoring houses and cars, there is a commitment that I don't understand in it. They throw money at it that I don't understand in it, and often more time and money than the actual object was ever worth. And I don't think we're ever any different. I think God sees us the same. You know, you hear renovators and restorers who talk about it and say, this is my labour of love. And that's exactly what God said to me. Each of us are God's labour of love. He has chosen to restore you. He has chosen to invest and commit money, time, energy, resource, people to see you restored to exactly who you were meant to be. And I don't think that there is any greater gift that we can get than one that has a father who is committed to restoring his children, or a creator that's committed to restoring his creation on an ongoing basis. And so for me, I think the most important thing I saw with looking at that picture was that we are his labour of love. Whether you feel it or not, and there are days that you think, really, can we really go through this again? Are we really ready to tackle some of these things again? Will we ever finish? Because usually restorations take a long, long time, and they never finish on schedule. That's the other thing. But God has his own schedule. He's not considered with time frames. He's not considered how many times we've started it before. He's just considered about him seeing his work completed. You know, John 3:16 tells us, and we hear this scripture a lot, that God so loved the world, he sent his son. But verse 17 always gets me, and it wasn't to condemn. And I think when we are asked to come into this journey of restoration, we're asked to do it understanding nothing else other than it's a process because he loves us. Because if you don't have that revelation that God loves us and that's why he's doing it, it just feels like hard work and a lot of pain for not a lot of gain. So I think for me, there's just, like I said, it's something that's been brewing. I think over the last few weeks at Compass and even months, we've tapped around this whole process of restoration. We've looked at it from all these different angles, but all I felt was that God wanted us to understand that it was an invitation. You know, we know the story of David's life. We know he had made some bigger mistakes. He understood who God was. He understood who it was that created him, and he understood that if he yielded himself back to the same God who created him, he would be restored. And if God could restore David and all the other people in the Bible, he can restore us. Because he's not just concerned with patching up problems. And I think too often we come to church or we go to God to patch up problems. Come and fix this, God. Come and bless this. You know, we fail to see how big God is. And it's not about patching bits and pieces. It's about restoring a whole work. It's about touching every area of your life to make sure that you are the person that God wanted you to be, that he created you to be. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And at the end of all of this, and like I said, it only took a few minutes, I saw a man, and it was a man singing over our church. And I had no idea what that picture was. I didn't really even understand it. But I had to tell you that that man was Conrad. And I saw this picture in January last year. And I knew that while I understand that Conrad sings and so does Andrew, this was not about him purely just singing over us, but that this was a gift. It was a ministry that he had, a gift that was to sing, that was to bring people joy, but that this gift would find a higher purpose, that it would now touch the heart of God. And so for me, this was just a practical demonstration of how God works with us and how he gently pulls us back and restores us and unearths treasures. Treasures that we never even knew were there. So today I'd just like to ask Conrad to come up and sing for us. For me, it's just the closing of a vision. It's something that's come to a reality. And I just pray that as he sings over you, you just don't hear good songs and good words, but that you hear the heart that has touched God, because he has chosen to bring himself into a place where he can be a blessing and he can worship. Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy. I give my life to God, and I'm glad that you said that you saw me. I have been singing for quite a while, but I stopped about 8-9 years ago, and I think praise and worship is the best way to go. Thank you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blessed, but now grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first
www.compasschurch.com.au.